door hangers, trying to share the gospel, or knocking on doors and then going to the mall down here. So it's, it brings back some good memories. So that was about 14 years ago. And yeah, hopefully the desire to share the gospel hasn't faded. I know in my life, I've been really convicted that I haven't been doing it enough. So I hope that I get power from the Lord to be bold and do that more, because I've turned 40 and my life is short. It's like a vapor, and it seems to be going fast. And with that, I just wanted to share these cards with you. I'll leave a few at the back, but they're the perfect gift cards. I find that they're really good to hand out because they're just business card size. And so it talks about the perfect gift. What would the ideal gift be? And it's a gospel message by Jabe Nicholson on there. And so if you go to the back with the QR code, all you got to do is take a picture of the QR code. It takes you right and it starts playing the gospel message. And it's really a good message. And the gospel is something that if people knew it, they would believe it because it's so good. And it's just a matter of getting that news out there in a way that they'll receive it. It's the good news. And so I'd like to start by sharing a little bit of a testimony from Ephesians 2. And while we turn to Ephesians 2, I'm just going to set this up. Just bear with me here. I may have to log in and out of Zoom again. Okay. I am sharing the screen. Good. Let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians 2. And this is my testimony. I was saved when I was 20 years old. I was born again, became a new creature in Christ when I was 20. I was not raised in a Christian home. I never heard the gospel before, like growing up. And I remember my family making fun of Christians. I remember having a listening ear to Jehovah's Witness when they came to the door. But when I was 20, I was down on White Rock Beach with a frustrated attitude. I was frustrated with myself, with what I saw in the world around. I remember I wanted to just go for a walk to clear my head because I was a little angry. I remember that day, I was thinking about punching a hole in the wall. So I was really frustrated, and so I went for a walk on White Rock Beach to clear my head. And just as I started my walk, I met a man who I knew from my work. And I knew his dad just passed away, so I said, "Sorry to hear about your dad." And then so we started walking and talking together on the beach. And we walked down the pier and back. It was a beautiful day. But I don't know what happened, but the time went by real fast. Next thing I know, we were and looking back in my memory, it was just like an instant. It was nighttime. The moonlight, we're still talking on the bench. The moonlight was reflecting against the water. And that was the night I thought to myself, maybe Jesus did rise from the dead. Maybe that was a real historical fact. And I thought, based on my conscience and the creation around, the moonlight reflecting against the water, I thought probably did happen. Probably did happen. That he rose from the dead. And then from that moment on, really, my life was really flipped upside down or right side up. I remember the weight of the burden that I had was gone that night. But it was shortly after that I came to realize fully that Jesus died for me. And not only did he rose from the dead, but he died for me. I was on the wrong side of his judgment. I deserved that death, but he took my place as a substitute. And that was the moment my life was changed. I started going to Bible study in a local church. And so just wanted to read these verses here. This describes my life before I was a Christian. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That was before I was a Christian, because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Nobody was going to tell Josh Kaplan what to do. I was the king of Josh Kaplan. And just living however I wanted to live. Whatever felt good, whatever the world said was good. And so then I came to believe that Jesus died for me when I was 20. And this is what happened. When, during my conversion, about trusting the Lord. So at 20 years old, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, and the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I didn't have to start being a good person. I didn't have to start going to church. He died for me when I was a sinner, and I believed that. And so while we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that's what happened during my conversion. So then after, what happened was, I was a new, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now I was living life that there was a God, and there was a Savior. So I was loved, and a child of God. And the Bible really started opening up. And so then it says in verse 10, so that life is to be lived for God now, because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll just turn there quickly. Oh no, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. This is one of my favorite verses because it says, for the love of Christ compels us, for we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all are dead. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So I had a life to be lived for God now, which is still ongoing, and it's still a process of working that out. But that we're to be living for him. And so that's when we go back to Ephesians 2, and it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're his poem or a fabric, it's what it means. It's something, he's creating something beautiful in you and through you. And we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, and created in Christ Jesus for good works. That God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe that I'm at Morning Star for a reason. I believe I'm here. There's no mistake that I'm here this morning. Hopefully, I trust and hopefully you have the same confidence that you're at where you're at because God has prepared that before, that you're walking in these good works and God is leading and guiding you. And so I hope that we can all kind of be led by the Lord like that. And God in his grace does never give up on us. So at Morningstar, what happened was my life was changed up there, and I started getting a love for Bible camp. Because when I was 25-ish, I was shepherded to go to a Bible camp. I didn't really want to go, but someone said, you're come. And he went out of his way to pick me up, went out of his way to drop me off. And I didn't even go for the whole week. I just went for whenever I said I could make it. So he I didn't do actually any of the application or registration. I didn't even know what I was. I was just a camper, just a friend attending. And what happened was the Lord really spoke to me at that camp. And as a Christian, my life was changed again. So what was happening was we were having a campfire, and they were going through 1 Peter. So I was at the campfire, and I just felt like the Lord was really, this is for me. This is for you, Josh. And it says in 1 Peter 4, verse 2, 1 Peter 4, 2. It says, he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. God says, that's enough. You did enough of that before I saved you. Why are you still doing these things now? Why are you not living for me now? You did enough of that. I mean, I drank, before I was 20, enough Jack Daniels that people drink in their whole lifetime. And so, like, I did enough of that, for example. And so that, as a Christian, that was a real step forward. And when just started taking the Christian life more seriously, I'm going to live for him. And then so kept my ear to the ground. And then about 7 years ago, the Lord led me to manage Morning Star Bible Camp, and it's been a blessing to be up there. And I'll share a little bit about what's happening, what God is doing at the camp now. So hopefully everyone can see that. And all right, so thank you for those online. It's good to see there's a few people online. So I'm going to share this video. Hopefully you can get the sound. Might want to check your volume. And hopefully this goes well. I'm just going to... It's not... Oh. Never mind, it's not working. You can't see that. So, I'm going to have to just cut that, I think. Hang on a sec, technical difficulties here. I'm just going to skip that. Beg your pardon. And carry on. Let's go back here. Oh, here we go. So it is a real place in West Kelowna, and might as well just take my opportunity to just thank you for your support. I know that I'm not sure what happened there with the sound. Okay, there we go. I know this is. Here we go. Sorry, guys. Just bear with me here. Where are we going? I can't see this. Let's go back. Just want to say thank you for the support. I do recommend Anvil, and I would say I understand if it's your first allegiance. I respect that totally, and I would recommend for you to go there. and encourage them. It looks like an amazing summer there. But if there's any leftover love for Morningstar, we appreciate that too. And we'd love to see you up there as well. And I mean, I would consider sending my kids to Anvil. We went to work party at Anvil last year. We love going there too, so. Yeah, we're having problems here with the sharing. And Parkrest is kind of unique because you guys are, Parkrest is a sponsoring church of Morningstar. So you have the ability to send two board members on the camp board, which the board has quite a bit of influence on the operations. So that's a pro privilege that you have. Morningstar, a little bit about it. Our mission is to have a Christ-centered environment. So everything's about the Lord Jesus Christ. In a fun, safe, wholesome, Christian camping environment. And to present the gospel. The whole point of the Morningstar is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, rose again, he's coming back, of Jesus Christ to children, teens, and adults. And to encourage Christian growth through Bible teaching, personal example, and service. That's what we're about. And so everything that we do, we try and filter through our mission and vision. Does it help the Great Commission? Is it preaching the gospel and encouraging Christian growth? And for Bible teaching, how are we doing that? We keep living by example and serving others. And so that's what we're doing. And then our vision is a long-term vision, and is to be a premier resource for Christian leadership development. Or I like to maybe change that to servanthood development. There's a lot of leadership conferences, but not a lot of places where you can learn how to be a servant. And that's what our true leader is. So as an example of the Lord. So, and that, what that means is our vision is the first place you think of when you think of Christian training. Where would you go? Where would you send your young people to go for Bible teaching, learning about the Christian life? Well, we would like Morningstar to be first on the list that you think of. And so that's our vision. So how do we get achieve that vision? We have some strategies. The first one is we need God's help. So that is prayer. Prayer is a strategy because we're not professional people. We're just regular people like you. You decided you're available. You want to do the Lord's work. So you're signed up. So we need prayer. God's help to stay dependent on him. So I really want to emphasize that. Also is to have a love for the church, because the Lord is building his church. That's what Jesus Christ said. I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's winning. The church is growing. He's building his church. And he didn't say he's going to build camp. So we really want to make sure that we're serving the local church and having that as an emphasis, not to have a thriving, prosperous camp without the church's support and coming alongside, but then we serve the church. And then another strategy is training, so pouring into the ones who are pouring out. Because we're regular people, we're not professionally trained for these things, but it's not to say that's a bad thing. So we can train. For example, we've been going to the camping conferences and trying to learn what we can. We learn from other camps. We often borrow and things that other camps have developed, and then we can share what we've learned with other camps. Also, for example, I run and operate the pool, and so I took a course on how to do the pool well. And Cody, he's our activities coordinator. He does first aid training and archery training, and is a teacher of these things too. So we want to make sure that we're training not only for the physical camping things, but also, you know, developing spiritually as well. And then another strategy is have the whole family involved, if we can. And so we want to encourage the whole family. Try not to separate the family, because we just understand that the devil is attacking the family unit. Families are under attack. So let's see if we can get the whole family there, if possible. So what we do is we have summer programming at our Glen Rosa location. That's in West Kelowna. That's some of the video that you saw. And then at Bulo Lake, which is a place where there's no cell signal, there's fishing, outdoors. And because at Glen Rosa, it's not really roughing it. Dairy Queen is only 5 minutes away. You can stay in hotels close, and then you can still come for the day. So it's real win-win. And then we have retreats and conferences. For example, the May conference coming up. Peter Kerr is actually coming back to our May conference as Victoria Day weekend. And so hopefully he may be able to come to that. And we also do guest groups, so the people can come and rent the camp. Churches can rent the camp. But I just try and say, hey, we're about sharing the gospel, encouraging Christian growth. So if you can kind of make that happen with your group, then yes, come and use the camp. For gospel outreach, it's a great way to share the gospel. We're trying to enter parades and fairs and use the camp to share the gospel. It's a good work that when people receive the gospel with Morningstar on it, it may be a bit received a bit better than if it's like from church. So yeah, it's a good work that opens the door for the gospel. For our camp volunteers, there's a big list of people here, and some of you may know some of these people, some of you don't, but I view these camp volunteers as like deacons, servants like sent from their local church to serve in a special capacity at the church, at the camp. So myself, commended to the Lord's work by Kelowna Bible Chapel to be the manager. And my wife is the registrar, Alex Anjar. She used to go to North Surrey Chapel. She's the secretary. I mentioned Cody. He does our activities. And Bulo Lake. So he's responsible for that. Tim Anjar. He's responsible for the grounds, all the grounds, plus our discipleship training program. Naomi, she's responsible for the merchandising and canteen. Marilyn Twigg, she's responsible for the kitchen. Andy is our handyman that lives there. And Trevor Campster is one of our mentors. He's a missionary that spends half the year with us. He's great to have around. Daniel and Priscilla Webster just came to the camp. They want to spend a year with us. So it's amazing to have these. The fellowship is pretty good there. And they're missionaries in Ghana, if you didn't know. And then for projects and maintenance is blank. There's someone interested in it. But right now, since I've been there, we've really had no one to really take the bull by the horns and fix and spruce the place up. We've just kind of been able to get through. And so it's a real prayer request to have someone to really take care of the projects and maintenance. Some of the highlights from last year are we had 12 camps in 9 weeks over the course of July and August. And we had 500 campers served by over 130 volunteers. So we had 130 people commit to at least 1 week, which is amazing. And so right now, I only have like 17 people that have applied. So it's about 10% of the applications have come in so far. And hopefully it's just people getting slow getting the applications in. But if you're out there and you think you can come for one of these weeks, I encourage you to apply. Also last year, we had 90 hours of discipleship training. That includes our two staff training weeks. That's just like 90 hours in of summer Bible teaching, morning and evening. That's pretty, I think it's miraculous kind of what happened. Again, we have an emphasis on staff training. I really feel like it doesn't do very good to just get thrown in the deep end. I think maybe, not to knock anything that happened in the past, but I think that maybe there was a little bit of a lack of training and accountability in the past. So I really want to emphasize that more. So we actually have two staff training weeks. So one in the beginning of the summer, one at the midway point. So that when you come, you're thoroughly prepared. If you come to be cabin leader or even in working behind the scenes, or you want to develop together as a team, the staff training is really important for that. The staff training weeks are mandatory for our discipleship training program students. You have to go to that. But it's anybody can come. It's optional for if you come for just a week, you can feel free to come on for the staff training. It's a real good time and good time of fellowship and learning. And so for a discipleship training program, just dive into this a little bit. We have these verses in these words here: sacrifice, discipline, hard work, reward. That's kind of the theme of the DTP program. So that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says that you must therefore, or in the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who are able to teach others also. That's part of the discipleship program, is we want to try and communicate something that we've learned to others, and then that they may be able to teach others also. And then it says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And so there's sacrifice. The soldier makes sacrifices. The soldier gives up its life of ease. If you come to the discipleship training program, you're sleeping on cots. You're in a little cabin. It's not, you're in the comfort of your own home. You endure hardness, endure hardship. You may be put into situations that make you feel uncomfortable. So sacrifice. And then discipline. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The athlete is disciplined in what he eats, what he drinks, how he competes. He can't just cheat. So we want to emphasize discipline in the discipleship. Discipline is that word, right? Discipleship. We want people that sign up for that and want coaching in their life. Do you have anybody in your life that you give them permission to coach you? Have you given permission for someone to coach you? People just don't often give free information away, or, you know, I don't want to offend you, but maybe pick someone that you respect. Say, hey, I give you permission to smack me around a bit if I get off track. Please, I need that. I bought a car out there. I regret buying that car. I wish somebody would have just taken me aside and been like, don't be doing that. It's a bad decision. Left to myself, I make bad choices, but we need to coach each other. So discipline, sacrifice, discipline, and then the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The farmer is hardworking. So this is what I want to teach: sacrifice, discipline, and hard work for kids that are 15 and up. They don't have to be just 50. You can be an adult, you can be 30 and apply for it. We won't take anyone less than 15, 14 or 15. But then there's reward. It's not all just doom and gloom and hard and discipline, but there's reward, because the soldier pleases the master, the athlete is rewarded, he gets crowned, the farmer partakes of the crops. So there's reward and joy in serving the Lord and doing the program. So we want to teach and grow servants to be part of the cleaning crew, cabin leading, rotate through some jobs, maintenance, maybe pre-camper care. And then the theme is practical Christianity. So in the morning, the students are going to be going through the names of God. We have a few books on the names of God. And then we're going to talk about, okay, how does this name of God going to affect your life today? And then in the afternoon, we're going to pull the team aside and talk about justification. How does that affect you today? Redemption, what does that mean for you today? And have a discussional conversation. Okay, that makes... All right, I hesitate to click this button because I've had so many little glitches, but that'll take you to the our donation page on our website. And on that page, there's a little video that takes you on a tour of the camp. You could see a few of the projects that were going on. It took the video a few years, and of course, without the project and maintenance person, the old video is still up to date. And takes you on a little virtual tour of the camp. And so you might want to check that video out. Just thinking off the top of my head on what we're doing right now for projects is we're expanding Cody Lee's accommodation. There's one of the chalets, and they've had two children at the camp since they've been there. They've been there 6 years, and so they're a growing family. So we're building onto their accommodation. So that's what's happening right now. And we always talk about these modulars getting moved, which hopefully will house our discipleship training program if they ever get moved. And the pool is going to get a whole facelift. We're going to sandblast it, epoxy it, and make it look real nice because it really needs a paint job. So we're going to do it properly. We're hiring someone to take care of that. And then a few events you might want to take note of. The Women in the Word Conference with Sarah McDonald. That's a ladies' retreat. Fabienne Anjar is cooking for that. The week leading up to that is our week of prayer. And it's not quite as intense as if you were actually at the week of prayer in Florida. But it's a satellite location. What we're going to do is pray for a few hours in the morning and listen to the little daily message. And then we'll do some light work in the for the rest of the day. And there's local church meetings to go to in the evening. So it's a little bit of a lighter week of prayer. And then the May conference, which I mentioned, with Peter Kerr. And then in September, we have a men's conference called Digging Deeper. We invite three speakers in for the whole week, Monday to Friday, and it's a real good time of in the Word. And covering a variety of topics. Last year we covered biblical leadership, assembly life. So that was really good foundation stuff for learning doctrine. And then we're nearing the end of the presentation, so just bear with me a few more slides. And so the one thing that's really encouraging that we're doing, and you could set this up in the basement if you wanted, is and we'd love to come and help you set that up. If this is of interest to anybody, but it's an archery club. It's called Center Shot, and it's using archery to share the gospel and also build Christians up and it's fellowship too. And so what it is it's the National Archery in the Schools program. So if any of the local schools do archery, then they have to do the National Archery in the Schools program. That's what Center Shot is. Cody is our teacher for the 11 steps to archery success. So we'll train, Cody will come and he'll train coaches. And then the equipment's a few $1,000. You can set it up, do it. So it's an 8-week course. So throughout the off season, we do an 8-week course in September. We do an 8-week course over the winter. We'll do an 8-week course coming up in the spring. And then if you graduate from the Center Shot, the 8-week course, then you come back for the club. So we run the club from 6 to 7, and then we take those kids for a Bible study. And then from 7 to 8:30, then the new students come in for the Center Shot, and they have a gospel message in that. Because archery is, apparently, Center Shot people say it's God's favorite sport. So if you miss the mark, it's making Christ the target of your lives, is the motto. And so that's a real cool program. We found that it brings a lot of kids from the communities. We're developing relationships with people in our local neighborhood. Through that. It's a real thing. It's a really popular sport. And I think we're just wrapping up here. And then another side ministry that I've taken on was to be a marker for Emmaus. Now, this has been around for decades, these courses. And you can get these courses online. But I'm kind of partial to the book format because, like I said, I'm 40. And I don't know why I'm just... on the device is too much. I like the books, but I'm a marker. So these are courses that will help you learn what the Bible says and what it means. So in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, it says, hold fast the things which you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them. We have this treasure, the doctrine, the basic Bible doctrines. What is the what should we be believing? There's so much noise out there. But these are tried and true courses. There's a whole variety of curriculum. There's children's courses, which I brought a sample. There's a whole list of children's courses, things that Jesus said and did. So when I teach the Bible study at this archery club, I just go through one of these books. I read it, and I ask them questions. And it's kind of a way that you don't have to spend much time preparing. You just, on the spot, you're learning together. And then there's a foundation series. There's a salvation series if you want to learn or lead someone to Christ. And there's a whole series on salvation. There's a whole series on foundation. There's a doctrine series, Christian living series. Anyways, you do the book, you order the book, you do the test, you send the test back to me, I mark it with some feedback, and you do Bible correspondence courses. You can go through a diploma program, or you can just do one course. And so those are a helpful tool. I hope that it's a helpful tool to people. It provides accountability, motivation, encouragement. And you go through, you don't have to go to Bible school. You can do it at your own pace at home. And it's affordable. You know, I would never force you to pay if you didn't have it either. So we just want to make it available to believers all in Western Canada if we can. I don't know if the Lord's going to grow it. I only have two diploma students, which is great. I'm happy with that. Actually, any more, I'd probably be overwhelmed. But the Lord might provide people to help me with it too. So he would if it was his will. All right. And then finally, for communication, this is always so tough. Thank you very much for allowing me to come and share with you. This is the best probably way to learn about camp. But there's also a quarterly newsletter that we send out, and I trust that you get those. We have toolbox meetings. That's the on-site team. We get together Monday morning, 6:30 a.m., the first Monday of the month, and we talk about what's going on this month. And then we have also introduced these something called town halls. So at the end of the month, this is something that you might be interested in getting involved with, is you can, because that's in the evening, the last Monday evening, we'll have a town hall. We just want to get some input and hear opinions and suggestions, advice, encouragement. If you want to chip in some way, that's a way you can get involved as well. That'll be available on Zoom too. And then we have monthly updates, bulletin inserts, and for social media, we've been doing Telegram. So there's lots of ways to kind of get connected and stay informed on that. So that's it. Yeah, that's there's a lot of information. And I just thank you again for having me out, and I hope to see you at Morningstar one day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And we're thankful the gospel goes forth, and you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you that you're using camp. Thank you for Anvil, that you're using that camp mightily. I pray you encourage that work, and for Morningstar and for other camps. We give you thanks. We ask your blessing on Parkcrest. Keep everybody sanctified and useful for the Master. So we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, my pleasure. Thank you. Okay. See you later, everybody, on Zoom.